Welcome to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall, a discussion of blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Hey folks, welcome into the show. I'm your host, Scott Tindall. Here on Beyond the Blockchain, we're talking about blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you. Philip is here with us.
Hi.
Hey, buddy. And then we've got the Andy Vickers joining us as well tonight. Andy, thanks for sitting in tonight.
Welcome aboard.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited.
For folks that listen to the show, Andy has been on the show quite a few times before, but we are happy to have him back here tonight. And, you know, Philip, we may get a chance to have Andy go beyond the blockchain and just see what kind of weird stuff we want to get into later on.
But I'm always down to get weird.
Yeah, me too, man. Always down to get weird. You know, this first half of the show, we always like to talk about what's going on in the world of crypto and, you know, how things are looking. You know, I think it's been pretty neutral, really. I mean, since the last time we did the show, I guess you can't really call it neutral. Bitcoin is up 4.3% since last week, which is, you know, in crypto world, not a big deal, up or down. In traditional investing world, would be quite, you know, a big number. It's sitting at, right now, sitting at 66,798. So, you know, bearing, 66,809. So bearing down on 70,000 pretty soon. Bitcoin's 200-day average is about the top where it's ever been. So that is something that people should pay attention to. You know, some of the tokens we like to talk about are in this deep end space, like decentralized physical infrastructure network, Helium Mobile, basically flat, up about 1%. Hive Mapper for the week, up 15%. So that's a pretty big, you know, jump for that one. But basically, Andy, somebody told me one time, this has been the best advice I've been given in crypto. And they said, if you're not willing to buy it or sell it, every time you look at the price, you have to do 100 push-ups. I mean, that gives you a little bit of incentive of like, if I'm not willing to buy it or sell it, like, why am I checking the price over and over and over again? I'm just going to give myself heartburn, or I need to do 100 push-ups. I don't know, 100 push-ups to you may be different than 100 push-ups to me, but
I think we'd have some very fit people if that were
100 the case. Still hurts.
100 hurts no matter 100 what.
100 hurts regardless. Yeah. Even if you're doing 10 sets of 10, I mean, you're still looking at something that's going to be, you know, a painful situation to deal with. When you're talking to friends and they're thinking about crypto, because the best description I could give would be crypto adjacent. And here's what I mean by that. Is like people know you know about crypto, so you probably get questions about it, you know, and sometimes you got to go, know enough to know what I know enough to know what I don't know. When people are asking questions, do you think from now on you should just say, do 100 push-ups?
That's not a bad answer. A lot of times I direct them to people like you who are a lot more educated than myself. Mm-hmm. Have a few friends who it's made, you know, transformed their life. But I actually got this term from you back in the day, cocktail party dangerous. And that is me with crypto.
Yeah.
I can talk about it at a cocktail party all night.
Cocktail party dangerous is you've got to be able to talk about it through one drink and then peace out, Irish goodbye, get out of the conversation. And if you can make it through one, then you're considered cocktail party dangerous.
I can definitely make it through one.
Yeah. And so you don't have to have institutional knowledge. You don't actually have to understand what's going on. You just got to get your – and actually, cocktail party dangerous is a term that everyone should know, and it should be a part of your life. And, you know, the whole beauty of Cocktail Party Dangerous is you're not telling people anything that you don't know to be true. These are things I know to be true. These are things I believe in. These are facts I know. But I'm also going to extricate myself from this situation before anyone ever dares to think I'm an expert. Right? It's like, it's like, I'm not an expert on this. There are probably people that know far more than me, but boy, let me get myself out of this situation as fast as I can. All right, folks, when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we're going to talk more about blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why it matters to you.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back into the show. I'm your host, Scott Tindall. We've got Philip here on the board.
Hey.
We got the Andy Vickers, now known as Keep Going Andy.
Keep going, baby.
Keep going, Andy, here in the studio with us. Andy, you know, you and I have been friends for quite a while, and we like to knock around a lot of things. And tonight seems like a good time to knock around something that, you know, you and I deal with quite a bit, which is like keeping your mental clarity focused. And I guess the reason why I say this is it doesn't really matter what's going on in blockchain technology, cryptocurrency. If your brain is foggy, if your brain is not focused on what's going on, it's hard to make any of this matter. And so you and I have spent a lot of time talking about your brain. How do you keep it focused? How do you keep it unfoggy? You know, my personal adaptation is to try and meditate. That's not for everybody. Some people call it praying. You know, some people call it talking to the universe. Whatever it is, I mean, everybody's got their own thing. Mine's meditation. I try and do it at least an hour at night and an hour in the morning before I get going, which is not certainly something everybody can do, right? I understand there's a lot of constraints on time. I happen to work for myself, so I get to do it a little differently. But I know you and I have talked a lot about this. What are you doing now to help give you mental clarity? Is there any techniques or, you know, you're training a lot, so I think maybe your training, that might be the same thing. It might be a form of meditation, right?
Absolutely. That is my meditation. So a lot of times I will either listen to like a podcast, oftentimes like spiritual podcast, when I'm on the bike or running. And, you know, there are days also where I do it in silence and get, you know, just as much from each one of those. So that is my meditation, and it's kind of an odd one. Like, I like to suffer to calm down in a weird way.
So, I think suffering is part of taming the mind, because what we're really talking about is taming the mind, right? And I heard this explanation the other day, and it made a lot of sense to me. And it was somebody was talking to their, it's a teacher was talking to their kindergarten class, and I was like, wow, this is way more advanced than anything I dealt with in kindergarten. But it said, imagine your thoughts are fish in a pond, but you're the pond.
That's deep.
Right? But kindergartners get that. It's like, mm-hmm, okay, yeah, the fish are moving about. They're going this way, that way, whatever. Okay, the fish are my thoughts, but I am the pond. And I am steady, and I am stable. And I thought, whoever came up with that analogy for kindergartners needs a medal.
Yeah, Nobel, right? Peace Prize right there.
Something. I mean, because that's what it's really all about, is keeping the peace and knowing that.
Unless the fish are piranhas.
Well, and a lot of people's fish are piranhas, right?
My fish have been piranhas in the past, absolutely.
Absolutely. Like, piranhas exist. Barracudas exist. Great whites exist. And your thoughts control your mind. And if you can get to the point where you can be the pond or the lake or the ocean and not the fish, that can make a profound difference. And when I heard that, I was like, Wow. We didn't have that kind of education when I was in elementary school.
That wasn't in my curriculum.
That was not in my curriculum.
Ocean mind.
Yeah, right? So, you know, I think that's really interesting. So, Andy, we were talking about a little bit about that, but you're training for some – you're trying to use this brain power and use this kind of meditation to train for something bigger. Mm-hmm. What do you have on the horizon that you're trying to train for?
Right now I'm training for the Starvation Tri in Park City, Utah in August. It is the absolute toughest triathlon on the planet. So 20,000 feet of elevation gain throughout the mountains of Utah, and the swim is done in complete pitch black darkness. So,
oh,
it's going to be a fun one.
So, yeah, it seems very joyful, really.
Wow. And strangely, that's what brings me peace. All right.
Well, and that's what it's really all about, right? That's kind of the point of what we're talking about is what is it that brings you peace. And when I started meditating, like, I couldn't go 3, 4, 5 minutes in a meditation without, like, losing it. And now I can do an hour at a time, several times a day. But I think that's a lot to do with just training your mind. And then also the work of Dr. Jim Brennan, who you and I are friends mm-hmm. with. And he's the brother of Dan Brennan, who hosts the morning show on this station. And Dr. Jim Brennan is just a brilliant person in helping you get your mind satiated and in a place where you can just be at peace. And I think the hardest part about what all of us do, and I'm going to tie all this back into cryptocurrency, blockchain technology, and all that, why that matters, but if your brain is not at peace, you cannot make good decisions.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you and I, like, we don't have to detail all of our personal struggles. We can if we want to on the back half of the show, but Andy, you and I have gone through all of our own personal struggles, and it's when you're able to find peace, you have so much more clarity, and you're able to evaluate situations or opportunities in a completely new way.
Yeah, I mean, that's being your best version of yourself. And, you know, to put it in crypto terms, if your health isn't there, and mental health is a giant piece of your overall health, if it's not there, and you go to the lowest depths of the trenches, you would gladly give up that entire portfolio to be healthy. So why focus on just that without your mental there? You can have both, and you definitely need the mental there as a foundation to build, you know, whatever it is that you're pursuing, in this case, cryptocurrency portfolio.
Yeah. Well, you and I, we've been great friends and business partners and comrades, to use the socialist term, for quite a number of years. And we've seen a lot of really good times. We've seen a lot of bad times. We've seen a lot of mental health struggles in between. What have you found that has helped you get through your mental health struggles that now has put you on back on this path of, and I don't want to call it prosperity because it has nothing to do with finances. What's put you back on this path of, like, feeling like my brain is good, I'm good, I'm going to tackle problems, and I don't really care about the monetary side of this as long as I keep tackling problems and feeling good about myself?
Yeah, I would say first and foremost, mine is centered around my faith, and, you know, everything flows from that. But in terms of, like, how I've gotten to where I am and where I'm going, is just putting something bigger than myself out in front of that. So doing these races to raise money, you know, for mental health awareness and the nonprofit works has been able to put me in the mind space to get up every day. And, you know, some days I'm training 6-7 hours on the weekend. So that, you know, if it was just for me and another medal and another Instagram picture like it might have been in the past, I don't believe that I would be here.
Well, it's a good, really good description of it, because you do have a good Instagram following, right? So for a lot of people, it might be like, oh, an Instagram picture. But you are known on Instagram as being someone who's fit, who is a trainer, who is a person who people look up to for their health and wellness. And now it seems to me that you're including this. It doesn't matter how fit you are. If you're not mentally healthy, it's all for naught anyway. Is that a fair description?
Yeah. I mean, anyone, you know, can be healthy on the outside. To be completely whole and healthy takes a lot deeper work. And I believe truly, you know, a purpose is bigger than yourself. And, you know, the thing about the Instagram platform and being the fitness guy and all that is the biggest difference nowadays is that's not my identity. That's an avenue. That's a little tiny portion of my life and like my greater purpose on this planet, rather than carrying all of my value that I bring to the world in just, you know, my physique or my knowledge of health and fitness.
And without getting too in depth into your personal life, I don't think you'll mind me saying this, that when you were going through your mental struggles, one day you called me and said, hey, I think I have a breakthrough, and the breakthrough is I don't have to be the old Andy anymore. I get to be the new Andy.
Yeah, what, no, that was big.
Can you describe a little more for our listeners and for Philip? It's like, 'cause I think because we know each other so well, I knew what that meant. But I think our listeners can learn from you saying, like, I think you actually described it as, I used to pray to be the old Andy again. And then one day I woke up and said, I don't want to be the old Andy again. I want to be the new Andy. Is that a decent description of the kind of our conversation?
Yeah, absolutely. Like, I kept praying, God, just get me back to the old me, to the old me. And now I look back, you know, in hindsight, it's always 20/20, but I'm like, man, that would have been the worst answered prayer of my life, because that's the version of me that got me to where I was.
Right.
So yeah, 100%. That's accurate.
What do you mean by that when you say we got 3 minutes to go before the break? When you say I'm the new Andy, what does that feel like to you?
More so that there's no performance, right? So every single action in my life prior to the pivotal moment was always measured. You know, it was always in a mindset of how can I do more, be more, you know, grow my platform, all of these things, business, etc. And now it's more so like, man, am I happy when I lay my head on the pillow at the end of the night? Am I able to sleep? Do I feel like I'm contributing to something greater than myself? And so it's been refreshing to have that. And I always tell people, like, man, this is a new thing that I actually got from my pastor. But it's like, man, if you feel like you're just never measuring up, just break the damn ruler, you know?
Right. No, that's a great point. And something that I think people can take a lot from. There's a lot of people that are listening to the show that are going through their own mental health struggles. And I just think it's important for people to know that, like, that's normal. You've done it. I've done it. I haven't really been transparent on the show about my own, but I think people just need to know that, like, life is hard.
And the human experience is not unique.
No, it's like life is hard.
At all.
Thank God it's not.
Thank God, right?
We need each other to find out.
Absolutely. And I, you know, the biggest realization I've come to is, you know, the guy that's on the corner with the sign that's begging for change is going through a mental health struggle. But also there are guys that are passing that guy on the corner in their Lamborghini that are equally, if not more, miserable and going through their own mental health struggle. So you can't compare one versus the other. Mm-hmm. You just got to know everybody has it. You have to work through it, but not even necessarily, you know, checking off the boxes, doing the things that you need to do to get your mental health, you know, under check. More so like completely surrendering the control that if it was up to just you and nothing greater than you, then you would never get better.
Mm-hmm.
You would always fall short.
You would always fall
short.
Right. I mean, that's a great point. When we come back on the back half of the show, I think we talk a little bit more about mental health, and then I want to get a little lighthearted, and not to take it for granted. I mean, I think this is a very important part of what we need to talk about, because people who are worried about blockchain technology, they're worried about cryptocurrency, they're worried about their finances up and down, and to be able to have balance in the conversation, I think is important. So, you know, we're not going to step away from talking about mental health here. When we come back on the back half of the show, we're going to talk about anything we want to talk about and how maybe it'll benefit you on Beyond the Blockchain.
Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall. We got Philip on the board. Philip, how you doing tonight, man? Doing good, brother? Good. We also got Andy Vickers here in the studio with us. Andy V. Man, thanks for being here with us. When you come in the studio, we get a different kind of vibe going because you and I just have been friends for so long. So it doesn't come off like we got a guest in the studio. It's like we got a co-host in the studio.
It's like people are listening on our daily phone call.
Yeah, man. Here's your sneak peek into our daily phone call.
Minus any bad words.
You know what? You and I do a pretty good job of not having any bad words on our phone calls.
I've been working on it.
I don't do that good in my daily life, but I know what the FCC fine is if we do bad words on the radio. So I'm able to go into radio mode and not do that.
I'm doing much better these days.
You know, obviously, my children would probably prefer that I move into radio mode all the time. And that would probably be better for everyone, to be honest with you. But such is life, and here we are. We talked about, in the first segment, we talked about the crypto prices and where Bitcoin is and where Helium Mobile is and some of these things. And that's part of the show, and so that matters. And then we talked about, your mental health. And if your mental health ain't good, then how can you really make good decisions anyway? And so then, Andy, we talked a little bit about, kind of our own different versions of going through that process together. We talked about how you're now training for these endurance races and how that matters. When you're training for an endurance race, where is your brain? Is your brain, this is pain, this is suffering, or is it, this is the way through? And this is I'm uncomfortable right now, but being uncomfortable is the way.
I say it like this: life is going to be hard no matter what. Why not choose your hard? So whenever I put myself through these endurance challenges, these workouts, these races, I see it as I am putting myself almost like training to prepare for life. I'm putting myself through the most strenuous, tough situation. And my morning workout is going to be the hardest thing of my day, regardless of what might go wrong in business, personal life, fill in the blank. I've already been through the absolute hardest thing, and I did it by choice. So it makes these other life stressors have less impact.
Yeah, that makes sense. Life is hard. Choose your hard is a great way to approach life, right?
Yeah.
I think people talk about this. They're like, okay, losing weight is hard. Having high cholesterol and dying of a heart attack is hard. Mm-hmm. Choose your hard, mm-hmm. right? It's there's no shortage of those adaptations of that conversation that we've seen. But you do have to choose your own heart.
If not, it'll choose you. It will find you.
It will find you, right? Like life will life is hard. Life will beat you up and life will dissect you. So you have to decide, do you want to be prepared for the dissection or do you want to just let life take control of you and dissect it? Because, like, not to be flippant, but like, if you look at nature, we are all a part of nature. We are very lucky that we are these very sophisticated parts of nature.
I love my opposable thumbs.
The opposable thumb is the most underrated part of humanity. There's no question. The opposable thumb is the most underrated part. So we don't even have to get into the details of what happens if you don't have one of those. But when a carcass dies out on the savanna, the ground takes it. And the ground takes those nutrients and they turn it into something new. Like we are all part of the, as the Lion King explained to us, we're all part of the circle of life. Right? So, you know, that's the part. Andy, I want to try and mix this up a little bit because I feel like people are vibing with this. I feel like they're getting it. They're getting the mental health aspect of what we're trying to do. They're getting the vibes. But, you know, Philip, sometimes I want to get beyond the blockchain. We've been beyond the blockchain for a minute, but I want to get beyond the blockchain. Is there anything you're watching or listening these days that gets your attention that's like, maybe the aliens are here, or maybe it's like, maybe I'm trying to get to the quantum dimension with my brainwaves because I know that this is not all that there is to existence. Anything you got going on right now?
Yeah, because Philip
and I will go on for a long time about this one.
Yeah, my theology hasn't entirely changed, and we don't really have enough time on this show for me to preach that sermon, but I do think completely different about the cosmos and just the world as a whole and kind of a much more optimistic outlook on what we call like end times, right? And what our responsibility is to steward this earth while we're here rather than say, well, you know, why would you polish the furniture on the Titanic?
That's a great analogy. That's a really great analogy. I've been doing more reading and studying on quantum dimensions, Philip. Mm-hmm. I watch a lot of nature documentaries as well. And what I learned from these nature documentaries is animals see things that we don't see. So a good example is people think, this is crazy. Why does a tiger have orange stripes? Well, the reason the tiger has orange stripes is because the type of prey that it consumes sees in a different perspective. They see in a different color pattern. And to them, orange and white kind of blurs out. And it's like this monochromatic thing that they don't see. So for the human eye, you think orange is like a crazy color for a predator. But for the type of things that they're mauling and consuming, they don't see that color at all. Okay.
Everything by design,
right? Like all God creatures, great and small. And then you move past that and you go, oh, sharks don't see necessarily with their eyes. They see these electromagnetic fields and
like dolphins.
Like dolphins. And they're feeling all these different things, right? So then you go, okay, if that's the case for tigers on land and sharks and porpoises or dolphins on water, isn't it possible that there are other dimensions of things we don't see? Mm-hmm. That
yep.
Because our human eye doesn't see those things, that doesn't mean those don't exist.
Right.
And it starts to make you start to question a lot of things about what may exist out there that we know it exists, but we can't see it.
Or find reassurance in the strange.
Tell me more.
Well, I mean, that's, it, you know, you begin to recognize that things are out of your hands.
Yeah.
They are out of your control. And you begin to understand just how much a complex operating system that there is that you are a part of, and you're a subroutine, a program running inside of. But all of that, it did come before you, and it's impossibly complex. And the arrogance to think that, oh, well, I thought all this up 15 minutes ago, is to miss the mystery and the wonder and the reassurance behind the strange. That you have to adapt to it. Like, it doesn't have to adapt to you. You have to adapt to it. And in the learning process, you begin to feel like, you know, it's okay not to grasp and grip and be so sweating out and worried about everything all the time.
Mm-hmm. The smartest people I know always continuously remind me how little they know.
Yeah, I think that's a great point. It leads to a lot of questions that don't necessarily have answers. But I think the point of the conversation is to create questions that don't have answers. Like, we don't have to have the answer, but we have to be willing to ask the questions. Yes. And experience whatever that is. I mean, you know, a lot of times when I meditate, I think a lot about, people call it praying. People mm-hmm. call it meditating. People call it, you know, conversing with the source or whatever it is. It's really all the same thing. And we're just really just putting different labels on it. So people who are of faith call it praying. People who are not of faith maybe call it something else. But at the end of the day, we're all kind of approaching the same situation in the same way. We're all trying to find peace, clarity, and if you're doing it right, you're trying to find discernment, right? Because discernment is this ultimate, like, gift that you can get from whatever it is you're trying to get. And if you can find discernment, you're in pretty good shape. All right, folks, when we come back on Beyond the Blockchain, we have gone well beyond the blockchain tonight, and we may just keep doing it because we'll just see what happens.
Fine. Welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain with Scott Tindall.
Hey, folks, welcome back to Beyond the Blockchain. I'm your host, Scott Tindall. We got Philip here on the board. Philip, how you doing tonight, man?
I guess I'm doing pretty good.
Good, man. Well, I think we're having a good conversation. We got Andy Vickers here in studio with us. Andy V, how you feeling, buddy?
I feel amazing.
Good. I'm glad you feel amazing. It's been a pretty good show so far. We have talked a little bit about blockchain technology. We've talked about crypto prices, but a lot of what we just talked about is just like getting your brain right, man. Just like get your mind right. If your mind's not right, it mostly doesn't matter.
Everything else is irrelevant.
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of like who cares at that point, right?
Just know that technology's place in this universe.
Yeah. Which leads me into Beyond the Blockchain here on the last segment. Philip, have you watched or read anything interesting lately that is noteworthy for Beyond Blockchain?
Yeah, I'm reading a science fiction book by an author named Greg Bear. He co-wrote a book a while. I got introduced to him because more recently in 2003, he co-wrote a book with Arthur C. Clarke called The Light of Other Days. It's a very pessimistic and depressing book. But this was written back in 1985 called Eon. And it's about them discovering this like this flash in space, and you know they have we have a technology. And this is their idea of the future. This is their 2015, whatever, you know, 2005, I think it is by their date. He's pretty accurate the way he describes like these slates that are obviously iPads, and memory cubes, and he also calls them memory blocks. Ha ha, memory block, memory cube. And his description of the science near future, he was really close in 1985 to what we've got now. And so his 2005 wasn't too far off from 2024. And anyway, so, you know, Earth satellites and technology, military satellites, they pick up this huge flash. And this asteroid shaped like a potato comes rolling out of it. The Russian jokingly calls it a potato, a space potato. And they go inside of it, and they discover it's hollowed out. And there's a city in there. There's a library in there. There's like this long plasma light stretching across, like a fluorescent light going down the length of it. It's like 150 miles long. And it has segments, and you have to go through each tunnel following the light and go to the next segment. The last segment goes on forever. It's like the TARDIS in Doctor Who, the TARDIS, and it goes. They have no idea how far it goes, and it actually goes to the other end because you keep getting chapter previews of the humans of the alternate universe that their future, you know, is our past, is their future, and they're discussing that human beings have showed up on the other end, which they thought was impossible. And so they're going back to that end. And one guy, he goes to his old apartment where he and his family used to live. And they're watching. He and the other guy are watching the human beings all coming in and setting up all the equipment and just going to town, you know, to explore. And, of course, Earth has already experienced the Little Death, which was a minor nuclear war. It happened between Russia and China and the United States. But they stopped it somehow. They just said.
So what is your perspective? Can we jump from one multiverse to another?
In this one, you can. And I hadn't gotten to all the technology yet. And they were talking about how pi is different. Like the pi is distorted. It's actually different in the anomaly that they describe it. It's hard to describe it.
But like, do they tell me how I get from one multiverse to the other?
Well, they do. I mean, that hole is there. I mean, it's somehow they created that tunnel in space, you know, like, was it Robert Heinlein had that book. You know what I'm talking about? Tunnel in the Sky, I think.
So that's the one thing that's always weirded me out a little bit is like the multiverse. That means there are umpteen multi-million versions of me. How am I me?
Well, these people aren't the same, though.
But I'm saying, like, am I me in those
different universe?
Am I me in those places, or am I just me now? Again, where does my consciousness exist?
It could be a separate person, like clones.
I'm just saying it freaks me out. That's all I'm saying. I don't know the answer.
Maybe it's a clone. I always say it's like a clone.
Yeah, but if my clone, but if my clone doesn't have a consciousness, like,
maybe they do.
Exactly.
If they do, it's fine. They have their own individual, just like clones.
That's what I'm saying. Like, am I me or am I version of, and they're them?
You're you, they're them, y'all came from completely different places. So you're not real clones, you're like quasi-clones. You come from two completely different places.
But and so, you're I, you and so I'm not them. Me. It's not me.
This is beyond the beyond the beyond.
This is beyond, beyond, beyond the blockchain. There's no doubt again, we are getting metaphysical here.
That goes back to the great comfort in knowing that there is a thing for being an individual. There is a case to be made for being an individual. That even the clones, people are still genetically breaking out from each other. The clone is just a more laboratory grown
version
we already do.
It's just a version of me that's not me. It's a little bit different.
Yeah.
Right?
And even then, his thoughts are completely, because he came from a completely different place, his politics are different, his interests are different. You'd have no idea. You have no idea until you step in and meet this other person, or if you never do.
So I actually feel better about that because it's not me, right?
No.
It's just a different version of me that had different life experiences.
I can actually
vibe on that a little better, right? Than like it's just me in another place. I can vibe on this differently, Andy. How are you vibing on the fact that there are multi-million versions.
Maybe not.
Of you. Or maybe you just got swooped out of existence.
Maybe that's just one universe.
I mean, you know,
maybe in every other universe you just got, like, Thanos snapped out of existence.
Well, that could happen in this one.
My theology points towards we all came from the same thing, right?
Could have.
You are me with different life experiences, a different version. You're uniquely and wonderfully made. However, the human condition is so relatable from one person to the next, and that where we came from, we have that same thing inside of each and every one of us.
Sure.
On a much deeper conversation, it's we're all a measure of light.
Spark of life.
Yeah, I think that's a
your spark.
An
your
easy spark, way to get us to the break. And get us to the end of the show, because you know, I don't think that we're going to solve all these metaphysical problems tonight. But I do think it's an interesting conversation. And let me tie it back to blockchain technology, cryptocurrency, and why this matters to you.
It's all there.
Because it's all part of the same thing, right? Like everything about the building blocks of life are all the same thing.
Building blocks.
And everything about blockchain technology is about distributed ledgers, and it's about transparency. Cryptocurrency is entirely built on these distributed ledgers. And understanding the fundamentals of life, and we don't understand them. I think the whole point of the conversation tonight is we don't. It just allows you to have the ability to imagine and be thoughtful and creative on what are the building blocks of, who cares about the building blocks of, you know, blockchain technology? What are the building blocks of life?
They're right. Connected.
Well, folks, that's about all the theology we have for tonight. We'll see you next week on Beyond the Blockchain.
See you.